listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Grace to you and peace from God who creates us, who calls us together, who gives us voices and songs, and then sends us back out to love and serve a broken and hurting world. Amen. Paul's letter to the Galatians. We have to remember that Paul is writing to a specific community, like we are a specific community, in a specific place at a specific time, and yet there is still universal truth to be found here in this letter to the Galatians. It's like we're reading someone else's mail, and yet we're finding truth for ourselves in it. The themes and the issues that were important in Paul's day are not the same as the themes and the issues that are important in our day, obviously. And yet, there is still universal truth to his message. Paul has come to the conclusion, even at the beginning of his letter, we read today from chapter 1, and Paul has already come to the conclusion that it all depends on God's grace. You know this, Lutherans. It all depends on God's grace. But it's good to remember that it took Paul a long time to get to this point. So many things have happened to Paul up until this point. His name's even changed from Saul now to Paul. In his earlier days, Paul was so deeply convinced that he had all the right answers, that he had the correct teachings and the correct traditions, that he could earn his place of righteousness with God through his own doing, through checking off everything on the list and being exactly as he should be. Paul walked that path for many, many years. Many years, and even became so zealous and rose above all his other people of faith, so zealous in his convictions that he even started hunting down and killing any who would oppose him. Paul was convinced. Have you ever been convinced? Absolutely dead set on one way of seeing things? One way of knowing the world, or just a single person in the world, or one way of knowing a certain situation? I am so right about how I see this, I defy any of you to challenge me. Trust me, you won't win. Have you ever known people like this? Do you ever get like this? Welcome to the land of the ego. Ego land. Not Lego land, drop the L. Ego land. In ego land, the ego is a brutal dictator. And there is no room for conversation or mystery or questioning or even playfulness. Ego land is where Paul lived in the first half of his life. He was so hell-bent on taking everyone else down, on being right, successful, and holier than all of you, that it actually completely blinded him to God's reality. Pay attention, friends in Christ, to the ego this week. How often will you go to ego land in these next few days? Pay attention to it. The ego is clever, and the ego is brutal, and the ego comes out all the time. Just pay attention to it this week. Your ego doesn't leave much room for community, doesn't make much space for discernment and conversation. The ego doesn't need all that nonsense, you see, all that mumbo-jumbo fluffy stuff. The ego already knows the right answer. And needless to say, the ego doesn't appreciate prayer. Because when we pray, that's when we open up our hearts and our minds. That's when we open up our hands and let the ego fly away And then in our emptiness, Christ enters and offers us new life, true life, abundant life, life where we are one in Christ. Paul has come to this conclusion through an arduous journey through ego land, that the ego has to be released so that God's voice and God's grace may be heard. All the great things that we do, all those great things that give us pride and a sense of accomplishment and even victory, all that has to be released so that Christ may enter and God's voice may be heard and grace might be received. This is Paul's letter to the Galatians. Being a community in Christ is being a community in prayer. A community in prayer. That might sound obvious. We pray all the time together. But a community deeply in prayer. I'm not just talking about reciting prayers on Sunday morning together like we do every Sunday. I'm not just talking about making sure that someone, hopefully the pastor, says the prayer at the beginning of a congregational meal or a meeting. It's more than that. I mean sitting together in silence as a community, letting go of that dictatorial ego self and inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill our hearts and our imaginations with a new way of being. One of our keynote speakers at our Synod Assembly 2 weeks ago now was a woman from Omaha, Nebraska. She's a Lutheran pastor, and she came all the way from Omaha, Nebraska. Her name is Chris Alexander. And Pastor Chris Alexander is the Christian partner in what's called the Tri-Faith Initiative. The Tri-Faith Initiative. What this is Christians, Jews, and Muslims all sharing a common campus together, like a common church space together. Can you imagine that? I mean, we're trying to cooperate, and we do that quite well, I think, with our preschool. Can you imagine doing community together with Christians, Jews, and Muslims? And Pastor Chris is the Christian representative and the Christian pastor, the partner in that partnership. They coordinate and they cooperate on sharing the space. Can you imagine that? The kitchen, they have to work that out when they do events together. The classroom space, the sanctuary. It's a common space, and they have to time their worships so that everybody gets a chance to come and worship. Most things they do separately, but they have to coordinate and cooperate around that. And they also program some events, like service projects, all together. And why not? Feeding the hungry, clothing the cold, fighting for education and health care, and a place at the table for everyone. This is everyone's godly business, they've determined. So I was kind of intrigued to hear from Pastor Chris Alexander. I was excited to hear her talk about all these programs that they must be doing together. But she actually surprised me by spending most of her time teaching us about prayer. And I'm going, prayer? We know about that. There's nothing new about that. What are you doing? She came and talked to us a lot about prayer. Why? Because how did they come up with this creative, dynamic, risky idea? This model for ministry, they did it through prayer. Through prayer, she said. Could it be that we might find our call to ministry by just sitting in silence together? This is kind of her point that I picked up. She just sat in silence with her people when they were trying to figure out what to do. The congregation was declining. Where is God calling us next? Well, let's just sit in silence together. Where's the leadership? Where's the voice out in front of the people calling everyone? Let's go this way, everybody. None of that. They just sat together quietly and in prayer. Could it be that we might find our call to ministry by just sitting in silence together, by doing what looks to our world and even to our ego selves as nothing, doing nothing, just sitting in silence? When we quiet our minds and our hearts and release our egos, it is amazing what God will do with us. I'm convinced that Paul, the apostle, was a mystic. He's often seen as this razor-sharp, systematic theologian, all scholarly and priestly, all holier than any of us. But I believe that Paul was in communion with the divine, self-giving Trinity, which is beyond winning solutions and holy answers. Paul, through quiet retreat, through opening his hands and letting go, this is modeled to us, by the way, by Jesus, Paul opens himself through that to God's revelation and then returns to the people of Galatia through handwritten form. And throughout the ancient Mediterranean world, he returns to the people with the gospel message of grace and unconditional welcome and love. That message must have only come from God. Paul was just the vessel, and he opened himself to being that vessel. After all those years of being closed and right, he opened himself to be God's vessel. In a world where everyone is sizing each other up, keeping score, highest number of points gets to be the closest to God. I'm talking about the ancient world, actually. Sure sounds like our world, too, though. In a competitive, cutthroat, religious, and secular world, Paul writes us to and offers us a greeting of Christ's peace. Grace and peace, he says over and over. Grace and peace. We cannot get there on our own. We rely solely on Christ, whose everlasting arms pick us up when we let go, whose loving spirit fills our hearts in times of despair, whose gracious peace calms our monkey minds in times of stress and chaos. And together, sisters and brothers in Christ, trusting in this all-vulnerable, all-present, all-benevolent God, we arrive at the promised land even today, even now in this moment. God is here to dwell, not just somewhere far off when we die. God is here and now to dwell with us. Paul bore witness to this one, Lord Jesus Christ, even with his very specific letter to the very specific church of the Galatians. Paul bears witness to the gospel for all of us. Prayer opens us to this reality that we are bound to Christ. And so it is indeed no longer we who even live. We don't even live anymore, but Christ lives in us and through us. This is our faith. This is what we cling to. It is in God's reality that we trust. This is the truth in Paul's day and in our day too, and into eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!